This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I just want to spend a little bit of time looking at, if you will turn to, where do I want you to go? Let's look at Matthew 22. And if any of you have spent any time with me over the last 6 months, this is a scripture that we've looked at quite regularly. And today's message is a follow-up from when I was preaching last time and I started talking about love. And that week I really was sharing about us as Christians needing to have that sure foundation of God's love for us. But I just want to read Matthew 22, starting at verse 36. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And this has been my go-to scripture for the year. And every time I read it, I feel the Holy Spirit saying to me, everything about the Christian walk. That's what that verse says. Everything about your walk hangs on you loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Everything else that we read in the Bible, every other verse, every other scripture will come back to that and relate to that. And so if you remember last time I was talking about, first of all, we need to have that real foundational truth firm in our mind that God loves us. God doesn't love you because of who you are. God loves you because of who he is. And I think we need to come back and remember that. We as people, I shared last time, must be fully convinced that God loves us. And that whole message was wrapped up when I read from Romans 8:38, where Paul says that he is absolutely convinced and persuaded beyond any doubt. There is nothing that could happen to him that would change his mind about the fact that God loves him. He says, I'm fully convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want to remind you and encourage you and stir up your love today and remind you that there is nothing, nothing that can or cannot happen that will separate you from the love of God. And the truth, the thing that our feet are firmly planted on, is the fact that God loves us. We need to be fully convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt. And if you start to doubt, if things come to make you doubt that, I want to encourage you to go back to your word and read that passage as often as you need to. So that week we talked about God's love for us. That's our foundation. Today I want to talk about and share a few thoughts with you about the way that we love God. So we've considered and looked a lot about how God loves us, and that's our foundation. That's our basis. Now let's have a look at the way we are to love God. What does loving God look like? You don't need to answer me, but just think about it for a minute. In your mind, what does loving God look like? When people look at you, how can they see that you love God? When you look at other people, what do you see in them that shows that they love God? They're just some things to think about. What does loving God look like? The Bible clearly tells us what loving God looks like. John 14, 21. "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." 1 John 2, 3-6. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. 1 John 5:3. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And one more. 2 John 1:6. Love means doing what God has commanded us. And he has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. So I would like to say this morning, there is one word that can describe what loving God looks like. And that word is obedience. Webster's dictionary describes or defines the word obedience as being the performance of what is required by authority or the abstaining from what is prohibited. That's Webster's definition of obedience. I like to put it this way. Obedience is doing what God says. When he says to do it, how he says to do it, and with whom he says to do it. Obedience is a choice. Obedience is a choice. We can choose to disobey. If we can choose to disobey, we can also choose to obey. I want us to consider three things very quickly this morning about how we can learn to obey. Because I don't think obedience is our natural instinct. I have three grandchildren. Iris, you're laughing. I have three grandchildren now, and the youngest of those is 6 months old, and we're already having to teach her obedience. It didn't come naturally to her to do what we want her to do, when we want her to do it, how we want her to do it, with who we want her to do it. So it doesn't come, I don't think, naturally since the fall for us to be obedient. I think definitely we were created perfectly in God's image originally to be obedient to him, but since the fall, something went wrong there. So how can we today choose to learn how to be obedient? I want to look quickly at three things. I want to look at trust. I want to look at waiting on God in prayer, and I want to look at the word. So firstly, let's have a look at trust. If you don't trust God, you will not obey him. One of the main reasons that we don't trust God, why don't we trust God? One of the main reasons is because we don't believe him. If we don't believe him, we're not going to trust him. So I simply today want you to think about, and in the coming days, because I think you will find challenges come your way about this, the next time you choose not to obey God, because it is a choice, ask yourself this question: in what area am I choosing not to trust God? Example, if God asks me to give and I choose not to, am I not trusting that God will supply all my needs? Am I not trusting that God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the Lord will provide? If he asks me to give and I choose not to do that, and it may not necessarily be financially. If God even asks me to choose to give of my, he asks me to give of my time or to give of my emotions or to give of my energy, and I choose not to do that, why? Is it because I'm not trusting God to supply that need in my life for me to be able to give it out? So the first area that we learn obedience is in our trust. And the only way that we learn to trust is by start trusting. over and over again, God has proved himself to me. And yet, there are still times in my life when he asks me to do something and I have a little conversation with him about it. Over and over again, he has proved himself. And actually, that's why reading back over my journals is such a great thing, because I can look back and I can see, oh, yes, God, I forgot you. Yes, you did that there. And, oh, you came through for me there. And that's how we learn to trust God, because he will not let you down. You take that step and trust him and he will prove himself. Over, and that is how we learn obedience, because if I trust him, I will obey him. Wait on God in prayer. Jesus is our perfect example of an obedient life. And prayer in his life was absolutely critical. And Carl touched on it this morning. Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. John 5:19 says, Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Jesus learned obedience by firstly knowing what the Father's will was. I can't do what God wants me to do unless I know what he wants me to do. How am I going to find out what God wants me to do? I need to talk to him. I need to listen. I'm actually probably quite good at talking to him. I need to spend a lot more time listening to him. Finding out what is it. Jesus would often go away and pray and talk to his Father. What is it that you want me to do? In Luke 6, it tells us one day Jesus went up to a mountain to pray, and he prayed to his Father. He prayed to God all night. And at daybreak, he called together all of the disciples and chose 12 of them to be the apostles. Jesus, I imagine, all night, he's having a conversation. This is just how my mind goes with that. Jesus is away praying and he's having a conversation with his Father. And they're going over the list of all the people that are following him, and God's saying, the Father's saying, well, this one, Peter, you need to choose Peter. Now, I don't know what Jesus thought about that. He might have had a conversation back with the Father saying, you sure about Peter? And then I see this. No, I want you to choose Peter. Okay, I'll choose Peter. He's having a conversation with the Father about such an important thing. It took him all night. It took him all night. I don't think it took all night for God to decide who it was going to be. It was just that conversation that Jesus was having with him. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Go to God. What does the Bible say? Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will show you the path you should take. There's lots of paths that we can take, and often it's not that they're bad. Sometimes a good path can be the wrong path. If I'm going down a highway, if I'm going down the Monash and I want to get back to, you know, I can take, there's lots of good roads I can take. I can take Ferntree Gully Road exit, I can go down Wellington Road exit, and there's nothing wrong with any of those roads. They're all roads that are going to get me to the same place, but I need to take the best one for me, considering what the traffic is at the time. So it's like that with our lives. Sometimes it's not that the path is necessarily bad, but God says, I want you to take the best path and I'll take you down the path that you should take. We need to listen to God in prayer. Wait. That's why I put that word wait. Wait on God in prayer. Listen to his will. What is his plan? What is his desire? What does he want you to do? In Luke 22, it talks about Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, he walked away about a stone's throw and he knelt down and prayed. And he said, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. I put that scripture in there this morning because I want you to know that it's okay to have a conversation with God. That's what Jesus did here. He said, you know what, Father, if I had my way, this isn't the way it would be. I would rather go a different way. And are you sure there's not another way we can go? I don't want you to think, brothers and sisters, that it's not okay to have a conversation with God. and put your heart to him. And that's what Jesus did. Father, I really, if there's another way, can we please go a different way? But you know what? Bottom line is what you want. Your will be done, and that's what I will do. And that needs to be our heart. Even when we're going to the Father, when we have questions, that our bottom line is, I will do what you want me to do. And if my desires don't fit your desires, then change my desires to fit yours, Father. So we learn to obey firstly by trusting that God is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do. We need to believe God, take him at his word, and step out and trust him. And that will grow obedience in our life, because he will come through every time. Wait on God in prayer. Find out what his plan is, what his purpose is. And the third thing that we need to be diligent about is keeping in his word. You will not obey God with a closed Bible. Psalm 119. It was really hard for me to choose some verses from Psalm 119. I could read the whole psalm to you. Psalm 119, starting at 97. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are a constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I'm always thinking about your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path, so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. God sets a path before us, and the word, his word, the word of God are his very thoughts, his very heart, his plan. If you want to know his battle strategy, if you want to know his will, if you want to know his purpose, if you want to know what his thoughts are, he's written it down for you. It's in his word. And you will not obey him if you don't know his commandments. My child, please pay close attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing for their whole body. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It's cutting between the soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The word of God is the only thing that's going to tell you what are your thoughts and what are his thoughts. You know, sometimes we get confused or we don't understand, God, was that you saying that to me or was that my thought? Was that your thought? You know, when God asks you to do something, when he gives you a direction, and sometimes we doubt, God, was that my thought or was that your thought? We can't know. We don't know. The only thing that's going to make it clear for us is when we take that to the Word of God. And the Word of God will tell you, yes, that was my thought. Or no, that was your thought, and it will cut it away. The word of God is how we learn to obey God. The opposite of obedience is disobedience, refusal or neglect to obey, or rebellion. But disobedience, I think, isn't always or necessarily doing the opposite of what God asks us. Sometimes disobedience includes doing nothing. So we all often think of disobedience as God says, do that, and I do that. And that's true. That's rebellion. But disobedience is also God says, do that, and I do nothing. And that word again about God just wanting us to step out and go. He wants us to be obedient. If we are children of God, if we are born again believers, then there is not one of us who should be sitting still or standing still or not doing what he asks us to do. Now, we don't obey God, remember. I want to clear this up. We don't obey him to get him to love us. Because remember what we said at the beginning of today, our foundation before any of this is that God already loves us. While we were still sinners, as Pam so wonderfully brought out this morning, when we were already rebellious and hateful and wicked, that's when he already proved his love for us. So we don't obey him to get him to love us. We obey him because he loves us and we love him. So what does loving God look like? It looks like obedience. And for each one of us, that's going to be different. For each one of us, it's going to be a different path. God knows us all uniquely. Every intricate part of us, we are not like the person sitting next to us. I was even, you know, looking at David and Bev's pictures of in Greece and some of the photos they've got up there of the amount of people. It blows my mind, the amount of people that are in this world. And I look at different cultures and even here in Carl, in the same country, such different culture and different experiences. God knows each one of us individually and he's given us each a purpose and a path to take. And our obedience will look different to the person sitting next to you. So please don't consider the person sitting next to you and say, well, they're not doing what I'm doing. Our obedience will look different to each other. And we need to go to God personally and find out what is it that you want me to do. Know what he wants you to do and do it. Know his heart. Know his plan. God wants you to know. He wants you to know his plan more than you want to know his plan. Sometimes we get so, well, God, are you keeping this a secret from me? He wants you to know more than you want to know it. Genesis 18, this is talking about Abraham, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? No, Abraham was a friend of God, and God wanted to tell him his plan. He wanted him to be in on the plan. I want you to know my thoughts. I want you to know my heart. Psalm 25, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And John 15:15, Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in slaves. Now you, church, he says, are my friends. And since you are my friends, I tell you everything that the Father has told me. God wants you to know his plan. He wants you to know his heart. He wants you to know the path that you should take. And he has given us everything we need, the Bible says, to live a godly life, to live an obedient life. He has given you every instruction. He's given me every instruction. There is no excuse for us not to know his plan. Obedience is our outward expression of our heart. Obedience to God is our love manifest to God. We can say what we like. We can stand here in church, at home. We can praise God. I love you, God. I love you, God. And we mean that. And then he asks us to go and talk to someone or give something, or do something, and we don't do it. You know, if there are people in my life who are forever telling me how much they love me, I love you, Karen, I love you, Karen, but then don't treat me well, what do I listen to more? I listen more to their actions. God is listening to your actions. My challenge to us today is to know God's heart. He wants you to know. Start to learn to obey. Start to learn obedience by trusting him. trusting he is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do, and he will do what he says he will do. Learn to obey him by waiting on him in prayer, not talking so much, listening a whole lot more, finding out what his heart is, what his plan is for you, not for everybody else. God will tell everybody else what his plan for them is. Ask him about his plan for you. What is it that you want me to do, God? Who is it you want me to talk to today? What is it you want me to give, to share, to do? Wait on him in prayer and learn to love his word. God, I want that to be my, that I can say that your words are sweeter than honey, that there's nothing else in this world that I would rather do than sit and read your word and think about your word day and night. And I encourage each and every one of you today that that would be your desire. Let's pray, church. Father, you are a good, good Father. And I thank you that you love us. And I thank you, and I am convinced that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And I thank you that your word is so clear. You don't leave us stranded. You don't leave us groping around in the dark, not knowing what we should do, or even just floating through this life and being reactive. You've called us to be proactive, Father God, and you have given us clear instruction. Your word is clear. Your word is alive. Your word is sharp. Your word is powerful. And I pray, Father, today that we would each be people who learn obedience, who choose obedience as an expression of our love to you, Father God, that we would learn to trust you, that we would wait on you in prayer, and that we would learn to love your word, that we would hunger after your word, that we would desire your word above anything else, and that through our obedience, Father God, it would please your heart because it will win people to you. What does loving God look like? It looks like obedience. Thank you for your word today. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you seal it to our hearts, that you water it, and that it would grow and produce fruit in our lives, Father God, that we would be great ambassadors of your kingdom, Father, and that we would point many to you. Thank you for your word today. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.